DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show number 100, Thursday, 22nd March 2007. Show of networks. I'm Ian Dixon, running on a new server, so apologies for any downtime I had on Monday, and welcome to show number 100. Yep, it's the 100th show, and thanks to those who have been listening to the show. It seems amazing to think now when I started off that I'd be going up to show number 100. So thanks to all the listeners, sponsors, and all the guests as well. Hopefully the show has progressed since show one. I certainly feel more comfortable with the whole podcasting thing now than I did when I started. It's great to see how Media Centre has grown over the last 2 years since I started the show as well, and it's gone from a niche product to a core part of Windows Vista. So joining me to celebrate show number 100 is Microsoft's Charlie Owen. Charlie's been a great supporter of the show right from being on show number 2, and we're going to be talking about Microsoft's partners developing applications for Vista Media Centre. You're looking at the sports lounge in Vista Media Centre, and other thoughts around Windows, Vista, and Media Centre. Now, first to some emails. Last week I asked for thoughts on Media Centre has changed the way you interact with your digital media, and I got some comments in, so I'm going to read out those today. I'm not going to do any news items this week, I'm just going to concentrate on the emails. So first to an email from Stuart Anderton of Future Publishing. And he said, Media Centre hasn't changed my life, as I had a TiVo for many years before it. And in many ways, TiVo is still the best system. It has, however, let me continue to evolve a new way of watching TV after TiVo quit the UK market. My children have major difficulties visiting relatives' real-time homes now, and they expect all their TV they like to be instantly on tap. Thanks for your email, Stuart. I know what you mean. It's very rare I watch live TV anymore, and it's a real pain to watch those adverts. So yeah, Media Centre has changed that. Now, an email from Gary Whittaker. You may know Gary from the Ask the Expert blog, and Gary's been on the show a number of times, right from being involved in the first show. Gary says, having been involved with the show from day one, it's great to see how it and the community around it has developed. I'm always amazed at how many people read the Ask the Expert blog, and how I fill my mailboxes with questions. 100 shows is an amazing milestone, and the amount of effort and enthusiasm that is required from Ian should not be underestimated, and is very much appreciated. Thanks for the first 100 shows, and here is looking forward to the next 100, 200, 1,000. All the best from Gary. Well, thanks for that, Gary. Gary's been a great supporter of the show, and like I said, you'll find Gary on the digitallifestyle.com forums and the Ask the Expert blog. And Gary's been very helpful with the show. And it does require an amount of effort and enthusiasm, but I do it, like I said, I do enjoy doing it. So thanks for that, Gary. Now an email from Slig. So here's my story. I never used Media Centre before Vista RC1 was released, so I guess I'm pretty new to the community. As in a matter of fact, I began to be interested in Media Centre during the 2006 holidays. From there, all I did was find plugins and communities for Media Centre. Right now I have Media Centre on my main machine in my room with no remote. Of course I'm waiting for the Vista ones. I don't have any tuners, but this is going to change Friday when I buy 2 or 1 dual tuners. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm also planning to buy an Xbox 360 for my new 50-inch flat screen in the living room. Any time after or in between, or as soon as the remotes come out, I'm going to buy one of them straight away. Some of my plans are in the next month to have a decent digital start in life. I have everything ready, as in music, pictures and movies, database, and I can't wait to start living the real digital life. Thanks for the email. Your plan sounds great, and please send in pictures of your setup. That's the one thing I've not mentioned for a while. Over on thedigitallifestyle.com, there is a library of pictures for submitting your own setup. So if you want to submit those, get in touch, Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com, and I'll explain how we can get your pictures from there. It's great to show off your setup. So I'd definitely like to see that, and I hope you enjoy living the digital lifestyle. Now an email from Jason. He says, "Hi Ian, for me, the Media Centre product has truly allowed me to utilise my mass of digital media I've been collecting for many years. Being able to organise, distribute and extend my media has truly been a technology solution that's changed my life and will continue to increase the digital media craving in my years to come. Obviously I want to see more done with touch and voice control so I can access my media in new and exciting ways around the home and anywhere else. Thanks Jason." I think that's one of the things that's come out recently, is that we're now starting to want more ways of accessing this media through touch screens and various other devices, so hopefully we'll see things like that coming out. Now an email from Keng. "Hi Ian, I'd just like to say great tune. I tune in every week. Where do you get the time? Our family has been running Media Centre for nearly 2 years now, and we started with a shuttle and one DVB-T card in the lounge connected to a normal TV. We progressed to a tower PC with two cards, LCD TV, with each the video, DVD and NTL box. I now run a main Media Centre PC office, which is linked to the lounge with a wired Xbox 360, same as yourself. It seems like it's always been like this. We hardly watch live TV anymore. My 5-year-old daughter knows no different. She can work the Xbox with the Media Centre like second nature. I just can't wait for over-the-air HD content to come in. My PC runs both my business and Media Centre and has 1.2 terabytes of storage with the twin DVB tuner and Vista running as soon as Dell gets the rack together on my print driver. I use Orb a lot to stream to my pocket PC, and we have a wireless laptop we use around the house, like in the kitchen where my wife can do TV, DVD, music and photos while doing dinner, etc. We used to have a TV in the kitchen and the bedroom, now we just have a laptop. I think the next progression will be to have something like Home Server, which I'm playing with at the moment. I think it's a really good idea. I think the way Media Centre is heading will, either it will be a combined download and tuner recorded TV content with intelligent monitoring of what you watch record. I can't see me improve much more than it is now, apart from HD content. It does all I need to do. What else do I need? Ken Bone." Thanks Ken, that's a great email. It's amazing how, you know, you said your 5-year-old, I was just mentioning kids before, oh, my kids can use Media Centre and they just instinctively got used to that kind of technology. It's amazing. Now, email from a friend of the show, Brian Frost. He says, "Media Centre has changed my lifestyle enormously. I now watch no adverts and all the music is digital. Pausing live tea is now an expected essential. Much non-video listening is now done by Media Centre recording of BBC Radio 4 or BBC 7 spoken word converted to MP3 and played on the go on the iPod. The BBC are taking this seriously with a researcher about to visit me to ask various questions. I'll keep your listeners posted about their agenda." That's a good, that's one thing I like about DVB-T and Media Centre in the UK, is that there's a lot of radio channels broadcast over that, and of course Media Centre can record that. So I get a lot of things through there as well. And now from Jack, the Media Centre took shackles off watching programmes when they're originally scheduled. Time shifting is the way to go. As long as Microsoft keep the lead in media innovation, Media Centre will be the way I manage my digital entertainment. And finally from Thomas, saying, "First off, great show, emerging better each time. After using PC TV tuners for over 10 years and many DVR, PVR applications, it wasn't till my son hooked up his Xbox 360. Acceptable solution has stuck in our home for over 15 months now. We can all enjoy our pictures on the big screen with family and friends. A magnificent interface completes this package. The only thing that's missing on the extenders is a web browser. MCE could take it from the Wii." Thanks for the email. A good point to mention there is MCE Browser, the web browser for Media Centre that does run on extenders. So check out that, Thomas. And thanks for all your messages. It's great to see how Media Centre is fitting in with your digital lifestyle. I know for me it's totally changed how I interact with my stuff. You know, CDs banished to the loft. They get, when I buy a CD, I copy it to the PC, and that's where it stays. Occasionally, the other ones go in the car as well. All my TVs on there, DVDs, I've got a home server which has got the storage. My next plan, which I'll probably talk about next week, is I've got a broken laptop. Well, the laptop's fine, but the screen's broken, so I'm going to convert that into something to use in the kitchen with a monitor. So I'll talk about that. So that's extending my digital lifestyle. One area that I think I'm not so hot on is in the car stuff. You know, I've got a smartphone that plays MP3s, but I really need to try and get that connection better. I want to be able to take more contact with me, so that's something I'll look at for future. But it's great to get your emails. I really do appreciate you sending your emails in. That's one of the things I've enjoyed doing most about the show, is getting your emails in. And so please keep those coming. It's ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. If you want to continue sending your message about Media Center and how it's changed the way you interact with your stuff, please do. Please keep them coming in. I'll continue to read those out. If you've got any other comments or suggestions or help or anything else, send those in. There's also the forums as well on thedigitallifestyle.com. I want to try and get as much content as I can on there for listeners to be able to talk to each other. So like I said before, I'm going to skip the news items this week, but you can, of course, keep up to date with the blogs. I've got my own blog, which I'll include links in show notes, and there's some other great blogs out there. Right, now I'm going to take a message from One Voice, and I'm back with Charlie Owen.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on One Voice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit, allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. One Voice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Well, Charlie Owen, welcome to the 100th episode of the Media Center Show.
I am glad to be here, Ian. Thanks for having me.
I'm really pleased to get you back onto the show. I've been one of the people that's probably helped out the most in getting the show going and keeping it going, and your enthusiasm and keeps going on Media Center.
Yeah, your show's a really great show, and I listen to every episode, and I always learn more from listening to your show than anywhere else almost. You seem to be able to really get to a lot of great folks, so I'm pleased to be associated with your show and its success, and I wish you many more hundreds of shows.
Well, maybe we'll get you back on show 200.
Yeah, definitely. But let's not wait till then.
Okay. Well, since we last talked, Vista has been through quite a lot of the beta process, the release candidate, and then the launch, and we saw the launch at CES. What have you been working on sort of since the last time we talked? I guess you've been working with a lot of partners and bringing some of this Media Center presentation to Media Center.
Yeah, so for the most part, the last year almost has been all about the launch partners of Fox Sports, Vongo, TurboNick, or Nickelodeon, and Vongo. Did I say Vongo twice?
Yeah, but it's so good you said it twice.
Okay, Vongo, and then Showtime, which should be coming online shortly. So working with those four partners, all four of them chose to develop those applications, those experiences, using the Windows Media Center presentation layer. In two cases, installed experience. They have a download manager and other stuff that they need to talk to on the local machine. So, but all four of them use MCML for their UI. So we've been concentrated on getting those folks up. It's actually kind of unprecedented. The previous launch event that we had back in 2004 on top of our Harmony product. That's when we unveiled our hosted HTML application approach. And HTML was a pretty well-known thing, obviously, to use. And really, it was only a set of unmanaged APIs. And at that time, we had three launch partners. Those launch partners, if memory serves me correct, were CinemaNow, MidiLink, and Napster. And this time, we were able to pull off four launch partners on top of a totally version 1.0 platform of Media Center Markup Language. So, been pretty busy, but I think we've seen some success there with those types of applications.
Something like Vongo, how long does that take from starting out with the initial planning to sort of bring that to Media Center?
So, Vongo, from start to finish, in other words, from the start of the contract through all of the design and the envisioning phase, the coding phase, the testing, all of that, was between 8 and 9 months total. And typically, on an application of that magnitude, even if you don't count the fact that they're using a version 1.0 platform that nobody else in the world has used yet, you're usually talking about an application cycle of about a year anyway. So pretty amazing what they were able to pull off in that amount of time, and those guys totally rock. Their development team is really interested in leveraging the full power and bringing a really great experience to consumers.
I suppose with a project like that, there's a huge amount of back end that goes on, but the user sees to see the Media Center presentation layer. And when I first saw that at CES, I was impressed, and it did highlight something that you've mentioned on your blog quite a few times about developers and partners having their own theme and their own user experience, and not relying on what and how Media Center looks, but still making it an integral part of Media Center and have its own look and feel.
So and that, a lot of times my heart yearns to enable all of the enthusiast developers out there. But when you're talking about being in business and the types of partners that you hope to attract and work with on your platform, none of those partners really want to leverage your brand. You know, Vongo has a very strong brand, and they want the user to feel like they are in the Vongo world. It's kind of like when you go to, here in the States, if you go to NBC, you have a certain look and feel of their promo reels for NBC, and you wouldn't see NBC using the ABC look and feel for those promo reels. So we kind of have to design the platform around those really large partners that have the content that the consumers want in our product. So it's a lot of times it's a push and a pull, and sometimes those things are at odds. I'm happy to see some of the things that I've seen the community doing. MCML lookalike is one of those things of getting the Media Center look and feel. Although there are some concerns around that, I'm largely excited that we have a platform that's open enough that enables those folks to go off and, if they feel that important about it, be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you mean, when you say concerns, are you concerns that they're copying the Media Center look and feel, which is kind of Microsoft's design and feel, and you think that's sort of being copied, or is it that it's just not how you feel an application should be developed? It should be developed, you know, with each application having its own user interface design.
So, first of all, it's not the copying that worries me. I consider that the sincerest form of flattery, that we've done such a great job at just a regular 10-foot UI that people just want to leverage it and think it's good enough for their own experiences. It's really in the concerning of, you know, making sure that your application has its own unique experience and differentiation that people want to use it. I've always been a big fan the fact that while Windows Media Center works really great for the features that we designed it for, it doesn't fit all things. A good example that I've kind of watched, somebody introduced me to Twitter the other day. There's really no UI elements in Media Center that would be great for bringing Twitter to Media Center. So the one thing that I love about the whole Web 2.0 space and all that is all of those experiences have a look and feel that's kind of unique to them. So I totally grok the wanting to get up quickly and get my application out there. But sometimes I think that comes at the expense of great features and a great, great user experience. You know, with the Vongo experience, you know, the opening animation really just draws you in. So they really couldn't do that if they just leveraged the same old Media Center look and feel. So that's one of the things that, you know, concerns me, that, you know, end users want the variety and want the differentiation. And sometimes the community doesn't give that. They just want the quickest avenue by which to get an application out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes that leads to the user empathy not being as high as it should be.
I suppose something like big screen headlines that now Ginsburg's RSS read is a good example of someone having their own theme and their own layout.
And Niall's a good example of doing his own layout and stuff. Niall's actually been able to drive quite a bit of feedback back to our team about the things that he likes and dislikes about Media Center markup language, and we're still in the very early stages of making Media Center markup language available and its features. We're in this for the long term, obviously, and somebody who uses the language on a very fundamental level to create new UI as it was designed to do gives us much more valuable feedback. Yeah, for example, if we put a tool out there that's a visual designer, what we would get is great feedback on the visual designer, but not necessarily great feedback on how well the markup performs for a particular task. So those folks that go out and do their own UIs and understand Media Center markup language are much more valuable to us in a developer feedback loop to making targeted improvements over the long haul. So that's the other concern is, you know, that people are poking and prodding. And again, I totally understand that it's a push-pull and a creative tension between folks who just want to get a great app out there and it's, you know, works really well with the Media Center UI. We're cognizant of that we're a platform team, and we want to make sure that the platform enables a wide range of scenarios.
And just going back to the Vongo service, in case anybody hasn't seen that, so non-US listeners, it's a movie download service, but how would you describe the user interface? It's very visual.
Yeah, it's very visual. I would say that it's very cinematic in its look and feel, from the opening animation to even the subtleties of when you move from the preview pane on the right to the item list on the left. There's a spotlight that follows you left to right along with that. So it's really the nice little tiny things that they've added as a fit and finish and a polish that really, really showcases the deep, interactive, rich experience that you can get.
I found that it was a real change from using a HTML application, is that you actually felt like you were still in Media Center and not sort of browsing a web page, as good as the HTML applications can be.
Yeah, I mean, HTML applications can be good. They're usually not quite up to the UI level that Media Center is. And so part of making Media Center markup language available publicly was so that you could go to experiences that were branded differently or totally different types of experiences, but yet you feel still felt like you were in Media Center, the same level of fit, finish, and quality was there from a very basic level. And I think that all four of those partner applications, we still have some work to do, obviously, but as far as the platform is concerned, but all four of those partner applications really prove that you can have a different UI look and feel, but still feel like you're inhabiting the same space of interactivity. It's not you've changed over to some other thing. It's you still feel like your basic experience works really, really well.
And seeing that on a really nice widescreen LCD or plasma, it does really nice, and it's different from anything you're used to seeing on a TV like that. I suppose it's more in the world of sort of Xbox type menus and that sort of swish flow rather than just looking at static changing text screens.
Exactly. That's what we set out to do.
And the other area that I saw at CES that American listeners will get to see is the sports strip in Media Center. How did that come about, and what kind of content does that contain?
So Sports Lounge is based off of TV features in Media Center. So it's got a couple of areas like On Now, Scores, On Later type things like that. So it grows out of what's available for me to consume on the TV tuner, the EPG, if you will. But it seeks to expand that concept. And sports is kind of an interesting, you know, we've had a lot of healthy debate on whether or not it should inhabit its own strip versus be a part of the TV strip. And I'm kind of a firm believer that its own strip, because sports really is more interactive and immersive than just a passive activity of watching soccer or football over there in the UK. You know, I've got favorite teams, I've got favorite players that I want to find out how they're doing if I can't happen to watch the game. And so Sports Lounge seeks to bring together the multiple data pipes of we've got a TV show that happens to be a sports show, a soccer game, for example. The fact that there's other soccer games going on of sports, of scores, if you will, and there's also players on that. So Sports Lounge attempts to munge all those together in a unified experience. So I can be watching the game, but also following the other players on my fantasy football team, seeing how well they're doing. So that's what Sports Lounge does from a Media Center perspective, is singles out the sports data in the electronic programming guide and then brings it together with additional metadata that is supplied by a third party, in this case Fox Sports. But we also designed it so that that partner can extend that experience. And we tried to make it so that they could extend that experience as seamlessly as possible. So there's a couple of places where you are using the native Media Center Sports Lounge feature that is located on the local machine, but then you start hitting a web page, and those two places happen on the now playing page. There are headlines that get fed in, and when you navigate down to the Read More button in those headlines, you actually go off to the web and hit a live web page for that story. And once you're in that story, you can go view photos for that story, check out additional video that's provided for Fox Sports. In addition, we also have links to that Fox Sports experience from just the static or the scores page, where you can see all the scores for a particular sport. You can then drill down and get the details for that game from the Fox website. And the Fox website renders all that in MCML, Media Center Markup Language, and it's pretty darn seamless. You still have the round-tripping that a totally local experience does not have, but you still have the same class of animations, but it's nicely branded so that you know you're in the Fox experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I'm just talking about the Fox Sports section at the moment. That was a really nice example of Media Center Markup Language, how the scrolling and the changing between the screens works so nice and so smooth. Even though I know it's a web application, it runs as smooth and as just as a normal part of Media Center.
Yeah, well, that's the nice thing about Media Center Markup Language is we don't specify that the experience has to be any different when it comes from the web versus local machine. The renderer gets the markup and renders it fully. We do have some very powerful virtualization features. That means if you're waiting on slow data that has to return from the web, for example, you can go ahead and render all of your UI, and then the pictures will show up as they become available and as they're downloaded. So the UI can remain very, very, very responsive, and there's functionally no difference. Once the markup is down to the local machine, there's no difference in rendering local versus web. It's just Media Center markup language, so it renders at full fidelity, which is nice.
Yeah, and the whole sports lounge thing, I mean, that's really nicely integrated with Media Center, and that's an example of how Media Center's been expanded, but it's still the same Media Center UI. Is that so that you're showing that the sports lounge is a core component of Media Center, and so therefore it carries a Media Center UI and the Media Center way of navigation, and it's all an integral part of it.
Yeah, the key thing here is when you go into Sports Lounge, you will notice things, pieces of UI that are unique to Sports Lounge, like the scores buttons. Those are unique and different from other buttons in Media Center because they have the scores right in the button. So once again, that's kind of why we put the platform out there the way we have, is so that when you need to create UI that does something very elegant for the user, you're not constrained by the pre-canned elements that we ship with our platform. You can feel free to create new things that represent content. So one of the things that Sports Lounge does reuse that's used in other places in Media Center are lists of data. So if you go into music, for example, and say, show me the list or the genre list, you get a text-based list of genres for your music. We use that same type of gallery for the players in the sports feature that you can select players and track what they do. It's the same gallery. But we're not limited in that, and we create new UI to accomplish certain goals. And that's what we hope additional people do with our platform, is they don't shoehorn themselves into a preconceived notion about what Media Center thinks their app should look like, but they think about the user and tailor their experiences to accomplish the goal with the user.
And how much of the Sports Lounge is really just establishing that you can have these kind of hybrid functions in Media Center? You know, you're getting data from the web, the stats and things like that, but you're also using live TV via the tuner, and it's kind of this combined service. So is this something that the team wanted to show off as possible, and this is really just pointing towards the future of Media Center?
Yeah, I think what the team wanted to do was say, we've got all this great sports data right here in the electronic programming guide, and it's related to other data that's available from a variety of sources. And is there value in combining those two? And we found that, you know, there's a very high value in combining the two. So we really set out to say, what's a great user experience that we can build around sports? It wasn't trying to prove a point about, oh, you can do these things, you can do these mashups, right? We kind of all know that if you have a data feed from one place and it's related to a data feed in another place, you can write some software that puts those together, right? It's really the, how do we put that together and make it really super simple for the user to enjoy that experience? So that was goal number one, is to just create a great end-user experience. Anything that we get in addition to that is just kind of gravy on top of everything.
And how have you found the response of the Sports Lounge? Or the users' response to it?
For people who really, really, really enjoy sports, they really, really, really love it. For people who could care less about sports, they'd just rather not be there. but those people are really far and few between, the people who don't have any connection whatsoever to sports. But for those people who do have any one small amount of connection to sports, they really like the convenience factor that it brings. You know, for example, my wife and I both love American football. However, we live in a part of the country that's not our home team. So we live in the Pacific Northwest and follow the Seattle Seahawks here, but we're originally from North Carolina. and the Carolina Panthers play in North Carolina. Well, because of the way things are set up, we rarely can ever watch the Carolina Panther games on the West Coast. But through the Sports Lounge feature, we can always follow the scores in real time, get updates, even actually see pictures and videos from that game on the West Coast while watching the Seattle Seahawks play, for example. So it's just making the world a little bit smaller place, at least for my wife and I, to really get some great value out of a product that we already own.
And I suppose this is where Media Center can add value to the TV experience over traditional set-top boxes or just a TV with interactive features, you know, like teletext-type features, is that you can get this data from various sources and, like you said, combine video, web, and traditional TV all in one area.
Yep, and have the full power of a PC at your fingertips to present that data in a very meaningful, real, high-quality way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of people at the moment, like me, when they're watching sports, we sat there with a laptop watching things at the same time. So this is about bringing all that into one place.
Yep.
I mean, I would love to see the Formula One, you know, Ed listens to the show, no, I'm a big fan, and I'd love to see sort of lap time information and other interactive information coming across the bottom that I could use the remote to interact with rather than just seeing what the TV director thought, you know, we want to see.
Yeah, so all you have to do is find an F1 team that's willing to put that data up there, or if there's, you know, if there's an RSS feed of real-time stuff, I think you have all the things you need in our platform to be able to make that a reality for yourself and others. Part of the reason we shipped the Q podcast application was hopefully others out there with RSS would, or a stake in RSS would see the power of that and be able to build that out. We specifically limited its features just to show the very basic RSS integration that you could do, with the hopes that others would grab it and build it out and build better experiences than we had time for.
And so with the development kit, is it possible then to have TV, would be watching a TV, normal TV channel, and still bring RSS data and display that overlaying over the traditional TV, or are you restricted to say a small now playing window while you're in your separate application?
You are not restricted. When you fire up your application, you own 100% of the UI in that application. So it's totally possible to have a full-screen live TV experience with your own customized ticker running on top of it. Totally possible. We demonstrate how you actually do that in the Zsample application when you go preview a movie, or if you select Watch Now on one of the TV features in the Zsample application, we do graphics overlay on top of full screen video.
I mean, let's I'm glad you mentioned the sample application, the Zsample. That's an impressive sample application, and it's almost like a totally new user interface for Media Center and a whole new way of working with it. But it's great that you've got the source code and you can, you know, anybody can see how to interact with Media Center in that way. So what made you go to sort of the extent of building a whole sample application like that with its own look and feel and graphics and everything else?
So kind of the genesis for that project was we'd shipped several versions of the SDK with a bunch of sample code, but not really showing the developer how to put that sample code together in an end-to-end experience. So we came up with the idea of actually shipping this application, which really took all the pieces and the parts and put them together in such a way that the developer could understand. So it's a learning tool. If you think of SQL Server or Microsoft Access, they ship with full databases that come with those that seek out to show you how to design a database, how to write views and queries for that database. In the case process, how you create forms, you know, visual graphical user interfaces to interact with the tables and the queries running on the back end. So really tried to create a way that developers could see best practices in developing these applications. It's also a way that we can continue to ship additional sample code over the coming year. And Zia is very specifically architected in such a way that for every individual item on a page, we can hook that up to different code. So we're gonna be publishing some updates to the SDK over this year before we get to the next version of Media Center that will have some enhancements and additional code in Z to demonstrate how to do certain things.
One of the things I liked that was the folder explorer, and I think I mentioned on the show prior to the application coming out that someone was interested in doing that kind of folder exploring view of the music rather than just going through the Media Center library. And the Z application shows you how it's pretty easy to sort of come up with that folder browser and perhaps just take the code out of that and use it in your own application.
Well, I'd like to claim that we set out to do that, but we didn't. you always come to a point in a project where, it's time to ship the product and you have to make a gut check if it's good enough or not. And so we had really concentrated on the movie space and the TV space, simply because we felt like that's where developers and partners really wanted to go with things in the longer term. So we kind of left music all by itself for quite a while, and then it came down to, well, we got to ship something in there of value. We need to illustrate a couple of things of how you interact with content in that way, and one of the things we wanted to do was show play media with the add to queue argument so that you could just add a song to a queue and it would just create that playlist, if you will. So we kind of just dropped back and said, well, what's the easiest way to get a bunch of content in this particular strip? And our developer, Chris Glenn, said, well, we could just enumerate the public music folder and just show folders and files. And I said, go with it. So kind of, not the best possible experience that we could have showcased, but it certainly, it was interesting how it kind of matched up with other people saying, oh, we'd like to be able to do that, you know, forget how Media Center organizes it, just give me a view of Windows Explorer, how it sees it. So it's purely kind of by accident, but as a last minute, we just got to get some content that's music, and where does that logically live, so no great mystery there. It's just kind of how it happened.
And of course, if someone wanted to add to Media Center to make a folder viewer type of the music, they could use the music strip, more programs, and add it into there and add their own folder viewer application based on that code.
Absolutely. It's already done. They just need to make it happen. All the code that we need to do that is right there in the Z sample application.
It's a really nice sample application that I featured that on the Media Center Show Extra, and that got a lot of downloads because a lot of people were interested to see how that sort of different way of operating Media Center can be done with really not a huge amount of code.
Yeah, I should probably just post the installer for that, so just anybody can install it and play around with it. We don't actually ship a full compiled example inside the SDK, but really no reason why we couldn't.
Yeah, that would probably be good, because a lot of people would just be interested to see the alternative way of operating Media Center and the kind of potential that it operates. You've got one of the good places to go for Media Center development, which is the Media Center Sandbox. How have you seen the uptake of that since you launched the presentation layer section and you made this new technology available to Media Center developers?
Yeah, we haven't had as much time as we would have liked to continue to post things there. We typically post things to Media Center Sandbox when we have kind of major chunks of stuff to share. I know that Aaron's still continuing to blog little bits and pieces, and he's much better at that than I am. I'm much more of a get an end-to-end scenario and then blog it. We've definitely seen, people enjoy that as a resource. We hope it's helpful. We want to make sure that it continues in the future. We've also got the discussion groups, which I'm pretty pleased with. Again, we don't have as much time to spend there as individual developers and program managers. But while we don't participate in those forums as much as we like, I do make it a point to read each and every post that goes there. I read each and every comment that goes up on our blog. And sometimes we'll incorporate that into feature plans for the future. So we continue to hope people will participate there, even if they don't see a Microsoft employee there as much as we would like to. We do consider it important to get the feedback from the community.
There's a nice community element on the forums there, isn't there? I've been on there, and you've seen a lot of, you know, just enthusiasts or professional developers, not Microsoft personnel, helping each other with issues.
Yeah, Andrew Cherry and Niall Ginsberg have been really helpful. I made them community expert devs. That's largely a ceremonial title. I think they certainly deserve the respect, and they have been extremely helpful to other community members in those forums. They have access to some of our devs and PMs on a first-name basis, and we hope they'll continue to participate there, because that's really what makes the community. It's not so much a Microsoft employee coming into those communities, but it's the communities helping each other out, which really makes those things rich and valuable. And I think you've seen that, Ian, with your own website and the things that you're doing, is people will come and participate when they see a value from other people in the community, not just Microsoft.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that over the last sort of 6 months has really sort of excited me the most about doing the show and the website, is the community element of it, and how, you know, people do help each other out, and other MVPs have come in, and, you know, just things like the TV card list that sort of we came up with together. It's real sort of world experience, rather than sort of going through an SDK or an official published partner list or whatever. It's real world experience.
Yeah.
And while there's people been on the forums, and you've seen the postings that goes on there, what would you say is the number one mistake that people make when they're coming to approach Media Center development?
Probably one of the more common mistakes is they focus too much on the details of the user interface and not enough time on the layout and data binding. Layout can be difficult in Media Center markup language. When you look at the different types of layout, we have doc, an anchor, and form, and when you read the documentation, those all three kind of look like the same thing, but they're all three used for very specific and different purposes. So if people don't understand the layout and the data binding, they approach life from a preconceived set of notions, which sometimes may be incorrect. So what I like to see people do is forget for a moment what the button looks like and how it animates and how it feels and all that, and just use a simple color fill to represent that button. Use the simple button from the MCML sampler to get your layouts performing exactly as you want. Get your data and your data binding and your logic working exactly as you want, because it's really quite easy to start replacing simple button with a button that animates and is more pretty and beautiful. So the biggest slip up I think people have is in the layout and data binding areas.
And what applications have you seen, or what types of development have you seen that you've been pleased to see, and, you know, that you think that's gone really well with Media Center presentation?
You know, I like to remain neutral on that question. You know, I'm just humbled every day when I get wind of yet another community dev or another partner wanting to build an application for Windows Media Center. It's always just amazing to me that people would choose our platform and would go off and do something. I really think that the market and the community decides which apps are great and which ones aren't. And it's far be it from me to have an opinion about that. I don't have the opportunity to use every single piece of software that ever ships on our platform. But I'm really interested to see what the community thinks of those experiences. And that's what drives me and motivates me to make things better, more efficient or better, is the people who are actually shipping experiences. You know, I'm not a fan of opera music, right? So to go off and for me to review an application that's all about opera, you know, I'm not going to be enthused about it. So I shouldn't really form an opinion about it. But the community members who really enjoy opera and want to use that application, they're the ones that should provide the feedback on how well it works and all that. So that's just my own opinion about it. I think, again, I'm just pleased as punch that they would, you know, choose our platform to create their applications. And I say more power to them and go, go, go.
When you put the, you know, the development kit out there, and have you seen usages of it that have surprised you, how people have got about doing things, but and that you can kind of see that that's not the way you originally designed it, but it actually worked really
so
well?
So I consider it a great part of my own personal success that people are able to use what we put out there in ways that we didn't envision, right? So, I mean, there's certainly things that we can't support simply because they don't fit within the business model that we might have. You know, ultimately, I have to feed my family, put a roof over their head, so I kind of have to pay attention to those types of things. But it's always very satisfying on a personal level to see people take something that you produce and use it in a way that you didn't envision that brings other people enjoyment. So, and it's also, you also kind of know that you're hitting the mark when you're talking about a platform, being able to grow bigger than you originally envisioned it as well. So you kind of know you're on the right track. If you're limiting people to only a really small set of applications or experiences, then your platform isn't broad enough to enable these thousands of vertical markets that you hope to achieve. So,
and do you think that the new ways of developing for Media Center has opened up more opportunities for the small developer, or is it the sort of the corporates with the branding, I think, that are going to come to the fore with the application?
I think it enables both. Certainly, we attempt to enable both as much as we possibly can. But the fact that we are based on a bunch of visual primitives, we don't, for example, ship a preconceived idea of what a button is, right? That really allows for a very big green field for both the enthusiasts to play right alongside the really large partners, and largely not be at odds with each other on the platform front. So, I think we enable both, and we certainly think about both. We're not creating a platform just for large partners. The developer enthusiast plays a part in our thinkings and what we put into the platform in the long term. Now, we definitely look for synergies. You know, can I put this feature in that enables both a large partner and an enthusiast developer? And any time we get that synergy, it just greatly improves the chances of that feature going into the product.
And as a team, do you think you've learned a lot since you've opened up Media Center Markup Language to developers, enthusiasts, and the corporate developers?
Yeah, we have learned a lot. Probably the biggest thing we've learned is people can't get enough. They always, no matter how many things you bake into the platform, there's always that one thing that, you know, people really want, and it's a never-ending stream, which is great, right? I always say that if people aren't complaining about your platform, they're not using your platform. So bring it on.
And I suppose that's give you plenty of scope for future revisions of the development kit.
Yes, it certainly does.
And then, so you mentioned that going forward, that even before there's any new releases of Media Center out, you're going to be updating the SDK and perhaps the sample applications. What kind of things are you looking for then to include in before you sort of hit the next version of Media Center?
So, largely, we're kind of doing these in sprints. And our first sprint is really all about driving up the quality of the documentation itself rather than any new sample code features. So hopefully you'll see that ship sometime in April, and you'll just see a lot of improvements. We really radically changed the structure of the SDK between the Symfony SDK and the Diamond SDK, and that didn't leave us a ton of time to actually go into the individual topics. A lot of times it was just shifting the topic from being in this location, the SDK, to that location. It was made more sense in the location it was, but it didn't necessarily mean that the documentation got better. So we're going to focus on that this year, is making the documentation a little bit better. And as the features come on board in the next version of Media Center, we'll also start documenting those new features with sample code and stuff like that.
And what kind of things would you like to see in the future versions of Media Center, that, you know, features that you think are going to be of interest to listeners now, or is there anything that you can mention that, you know, that to give us a clue for the future?
I can't do that. It's hard, right? Because I see all the features. I know what we're building in the product, so it's kind of hard for me to really comment on that. I'm extremely thrilled with the direction of Media Center overall, and with each version of Media Center that comes out, it gets better and better. Dig into Windows Vista, the new Media Center in there, start using it, provide feedback, participate in the community, and who knows, the thing you request or really, really want might be in the next version. You never know. But, you know, if we don't hear from you in the community, and I'm speaking to your listeners, if we don't hear from you in the community, we can't really add those features that you might find fun or important in the product. So make your voice heard.
And if anybody wants to get hold of all the software development kit and the sample applications, where's the best place to go?
If they go up to blog.mediacentersandbox.com, there's a pointer to the software development kit now up on there. That's probably the easiest way. They can always drop me an email at charlieo@mic.com. That's charlieo@microsoft.com, and I'm always trying to do my best to answer any email that people send me from the community. You know, if they need a pointer and they want a direct link to it, I'll be glad to send them that if they ever want to chat. I also have Friday afternoons kind of blocked off. I call it Coding Friday, although I just find I'm writing less and less code on those. But that's time to set aside to hear from any community members that want to call me, either on Skype or on the phone, or send me an email to ask for that. As long as I'm not on vacation, I always try to pull off that time to be responsive to community devs and our partners to help them out. So there's a variety of ways they can get to that information.
And finally, one thing I wanted to talk about was talk about your blog a little bit. I don't know if you heard the awards show, and Edbot was full of praise for your blog. It's an interesting blog, and I tend to find that yours is a blog that you only post when you've got something really interesting to say, and whenever you do post something, it's always really worth reading. How do you maintain that balance of good posting but keeping it regular enough to keep people coming back?
Yeah, so I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, at least with my own personal blogging. We made a kind of a decision back, you know, many months ago when the Media Center Sandbox site went up, that any, you know, deep technical or how-to documentation would go on Media Center Sandbox. And then my own retro site blog would, it really kind of go back to those things that is more of on a personal level for me, or the things that I enjoy or passionate. Sometimes that'll be about Media Center, but often is not. It's not about Media Center. And I really, you know, my blog is more, you know, there's some people that blog, you know, every time they have a thought. And there's other people that blog anytime they want to react to something out on that they see on the web or on another blog. And my blog's more of about, you know, what do I enjoy doing on my personal time? You know, what are those things that, you know, I see that I have a strong opinion about? And it really is, if I don't think it's of interest to anybody, I just don't post it, you know, or if I don't have a strong opinion about something. And it's really a chance for me to make my voice heard out there and give folks a way to communicate back to me. I've actually been thinking about maybe I should do this as a part of your 100th show of what do you want me to talk about? A lot of times, what I might be talking about is not interesting whatsoever to the world of Media Center users. So maybe we can just make that happen as the day this 100th show goes up, I'll make a call out for what do you want to hear from me about? What do you want to hear from the Media Center team? And we'll kind of focus that thing back on that. So
yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, it's just a chance for me to kind of talk about the things that I like to enjoy to do in my personal blog. And then, of course, anytime we have updates or want to tell you how to do new things or interesting things or updates on the platform side, that'll be on the MediaCenterSandbox.com site.
Yeah, that's definitely, if you're a developer, that's a feed definitely worth subscribing to.
So I actually won the award, even though Aaron Stadner got it for his blog, because he only runs one blog and I was running two. But I'm sure he'll let me know his displeasure with my comment of that. He'll find that to be quite funny, actually.
You'll have to split the virtual award trophy between you.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'll just make him take me out to dinner or something.
That's a good idea. Let him buy you the meal.
Yeah.
Well, I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on the 100th show.
Yeah, well, congratulations on the 100th show. I mean, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? What a journey you must have had already.
Yeah, it's been incredible, really. I mean, certainly when we went back doing the early shows and show number 2 that you were on, it's just I didn't expect to be doing show number 100.
Wow. Well, maybe I'll have to do a show and have you as my first guest. We'll turn the tables. I'll ask all the hard questions.
You can ask me about what features are coming in the next 12 months.
Oh, boy. That'd be great. That would be a really great show. Let's do that sometime. Let's do an Ian Dixon prediction show, and then we'll rehash it when it actually releases. That'll be fun.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
We'll figure out if we ever want you to pick our stocks.
Yeah, we'll definitely sort something out on that.
All right, Ian. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, well, many thanks for your time today.
All right. Have a good one, Ian.
Thanks to Charlie. That's it for this week and show number 100. Thanks to all the guests that have been on the last 100 shows. Thanks especially to you listeners. Without you, I couldn't do it and wouldn't do it. Thanks to Orb and One Voice for supporting the show as well, and everybody else that supported the show. Like I said before, I really do want to keep your email coming in, so ian@thedigitallife.com, and don't forget the forums and the blogs and everything else, the video shows. Many thanks for listening. Some of you listened to the last 100 shows, good on you. I'll see you on thedigitallifestyle.com. I'm going to play out with some of my music, which I've made available to download, which is on the forums. You'll see that on thedigitallifestyle.com. And I'll see you next week. Really do appreciate you listening. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.